We are going to finish the 14th chapter of Luke today. So we are in verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. For men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Obviously, salt and sodium chloride is the Greek word halos. It is without question the component of eternity. And that's why all the sacrifices had to be salted. Otherwise they weren't accepted. Now the component of eternity in the Hebrew mind would be an incredible aspect of the revelation of something other than the sacrifice. They could see that it was a pattern or a model of something. And so by definition, the only thing that is salted is something that is eternal. If it's not salted, then it's of time and space. Everybody understand that? So, let's look at the companion one in a couple. Let's go to Matthew 5.
Before we leave that one. The savor is the key word here.
Well, it's made useless.
Lost its savor.
It's useless. It's good for nothing.
It's interesting that it's a plural. I mean, it's a male thing. His savor.
I didn't even notice that.
His savor.
Yeah, that's a good point. So let's go to Matthew 5. It's the same thing, but it's just Matthew's version of it. It's a little more emphatic. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of man. So here, the difference is, he says, we are the salt of the earth. Now let's look at Mark 9. Verse 49, excuse me. No, wait a minute. Yeah, let's go to 48. 9:48. Where there weren't, why do we have to do, if we're going to do that? Verse 47. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not, and a fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. These are strange scriptures to the mind. To be salted with fire. Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. If the sacrifice is not salted with salt, it's not, or seasoned with salt, it's not acceptable. Because it doesn't have that component of eternity. Now you are, we are the salt of the earth. But if this, let's go back to Luke. Verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, why does it say it's neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill? One of the things that salt was used for is to increase the arability of arable land. And it had to be very small quantities, or possibly salt that is losing its savor. And then it was used to make the land more fertile in small quantities. Farmers still do this. No, let's go on. Let's look at
what was the chemical composition?
Sodium chloride. Let's go to Colossians 4. Let's start in verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Your speech here is not just your speech outwardly, it's your thoughts. Thoughts are a form of speech. Let it be seasoned with salt. That's the only way you can be the salt of the earth. And therefore, again, we're back to this. Well, let's go to one more. Let's go to First Peter.
Well, it's like salt has properties or components of life, death, purity, healing. When you think about it.
Peace too.
Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. No, sorry, chapter 4. Let's start in verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. using hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister that same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, in whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Remember, we've talked about it many times, but the oracle is the name of the place under the wings of the cherubim and on the mercy seat. So your speech and thoughts being seasoned with salt, and you're speaking from that place under the wings of the cherubim. Not just speaking, thinking. This is what it means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's done by the power of God, but it always requires your repentance if you're doing anything else. Salt, and if you're not, then the salt has lost its savor or never had it. So these are things that you can't get around. Unless it's just not interesting to you. It's just another philosophy among a jillion others, and you pick and choose which part of it you're going to believe. Just like that's all anybody ever does, and they just common ordinary flesh. Might have Jesus' name on the flesh, but it's meaningless. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. All right, let's go back to Luke. Anybody have any response? Is this just some unattainable philosophy?
No.
Just like it says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And these are things I personally can't hear without true abandonment and self-denial on that, because it's spiritually discerned. It's not fleshly discerned. And I find listening, I have to be almost real still to catch the savor. You know, it's a very subtle concept.
But how can you say it's subtle? I don't understand that. It's to me, it's a blaring trumpet. Well, this is what it means. This is what happens on the mercy seat. It's not something you can do. But you can if you die, you can if you repent totally, you can if you abandon yourself, then it's as natural as breathing. You get bored with anything that doesn't have the component of salt in it. And you don't even hear anything that's not coming from the oracle of God. This is how the sheep know his voice. This isn't a choice among a thousand that you make. This whole thing we've been studying about forsaking all that you have, about let your speech be seasoned with salt. While everything we studied, it's the what is. It's not something you can do or not do. It's not a. It's the fruit of total repentance.
It's talking about who is. It's the Jesus Christ. That's what he is. That's what he does.
But it says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. You let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, it's the fruit of revelation. And the whole issue, the reason that sanctification exists is so that you, and the reason you confess the Lord Jesus is that you say the same thing. You say the same thing because you hear the same thing. You hear the same thing and then you see the same thing. But it only comes from repentance. That's what the scriptures mean. That you have need that no man teach you. Because that which is within you, if you are abandoned, is what he is. You don't need any man to teach you. But this cannot be understood unless you redeem the time. You redeem the time because you know the days are evil. You redeem the time because you know that it's over. It's gone. It's done. And anything in time that has time as a component is meaningless puff of smoke. And if you're not doing that, then the only option is repentance. It doesn't mean you start trying to think about God stuff. You can't. Your mind is impossible. It can't even conceive of no time. But by repentance, it all is there. But if you're not, if you haven't seen the end of all things, you can't repent. You can just sort of, you repent extremely slowly. It takes you 100 years to come to the end of yourself. But to me, these last two scriptures put the exclamation mark on everything we've studied about the cost of discipleship. It's never a what is or how to. I mean, it's never a how to. It's always just a what is. Again, there's no neutral position. We think there's neutral, and that's what produces rebellion.
And sloth.
What?
And sloth.
Right. The ancient rabbis that I feel like they're brothers in Christ is that they said the only time that your speech can have wisdom is if it's seasoned to a salt. My only job is to cause repentance. It's not to teach you anything. Let's just read these last few in Luke again. This is, remember I said, there was an increasing intensity showing the way is narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. So this is, and this sort of is the coda of all of that, of that cost of discipleship. Verse 25, there went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to make war against another king sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This word savor is a Greek word marino, and it means to become tasteless, but it's also the word for foolish.
That word savor?
Hmm?
The word savor?
No. Yeah, the word savor. Marino. And that's what happens. If the salt has lost its savor, then you become foolish. Let's look at a few of these in the Old Testament. We'll go to Leviticus 23 first. I lost the place there for some reason. Let's go to Numbers 18. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons, and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. The sacrifice has become a covenant of salt.
Amen.
All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles. I just made a stupid boo-boo. It's not Leviticus 23, it's Leviticus 2, verse 13. Then we'll go to Chronicles after that. I think I'm getting OCD or something because I do that a lot. I was going to write Luke 23, I mean 20, verse 13, and I wrote somehow verse 23, chapter 23. 2, verse, every oblation of thy meat offerings, verse 13, every oblation of thy meat offerings shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. God, what is it going to make you? Are you doing that so that when God eats the offering, it's going to taste better for him? Not hardly. Now it's the Second Chronicles.
It's kind of interesting that it's just a small component.
But it's the only component that makes it interesting and understandable. Otherwise, all these animals offered doesn't mean anything. Second Chronicles chapter 13. This one is sort of the clincher of all of these. We could spend all day on this one because it's about the war between Abijah and Jeroboam. But anyway, verse 5. Ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Let's go to Second Samuel, chapter 7. This is God's covenant with David and his plans to build the temple. We don't have time to do that. If I move, we'll. But can't get out of here.
Could this be true? The sacrifice is in time and space. The salt is the eternal aspect of the sacrifice, transforms it into the eternal, or by it you're able to see the eternal through the physical. There's something about the fact that you put salt on the meat.
It preserves it.
Meat is carnal. It's of this time, this world. And it's like a picture of God
Again, it's something that's a little different than transforming. It's transfiguring. That's why I let you be not conformed to this world, but be transfigured. And the vehicle is by the renewing of your mind.
There's part of the chemical reaction, it seems, by this transfiguration happening. You are transfigured then into seeing and then becoming.
Only by repentance. Your mind has to have the component of eternity there always. If your mind doesn't have the component of eternity in every thought, then the only answer is, Father, forgive me. Turn from it. This is what this is whole. Let your speech be seasoned with salt. This, I promise you, this is... If you don't, your mind talk will be forever. There's no... You can't fix it. But you can shut it up. But you can't shut it up unless you close the door totally on it. You can't open the door. I'm going to use it for a while for this purpose, and then I'm going to not use it. But again, this is the scariest thing about the preaching of the cross. We don't think that it can be done because I'll just die if I don't think. I've got to think. I've got to plan. I've got to take it. Just hear what this one verse now. Let's go to Revelation 14. Actually, it's two verses. Chapter 14, verse 12. I can repeat it, but I'll read it so that you don't think I'm making it up. Three things each one of us want. We want the patience of the saints of old. We want to keep the commandments of God. And we want to have the faith of Jesus Christ. So that's what it says. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The labors there is that word, porneal, that we get our word pornography from. From God's standpoint, our labors are pornography. Because we are going someplace other than Him for our sustenance. That's fornication to God. Or pornography. That you may rest from your labors. Labor to enter into that rest. You labor, the laboring to enter the rest is by this incredible thing of repenting when you see you're not. God wants us faith alone. And that can't be done as long as our mind is engaged. I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest, hallelujah, from their labor. And their works do follow them. Our whole life. That's our mind's job, is to create works that lead us. And we think it has to be done that way. It's endemic to the beast. It's just common, ordinary flesh. You may be good at doing it, but it's then if you're good at doing it, then that's bad because you won't see that your poverty. Any response? Anybody else? Mr. Bojo? You understand? Neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but you're cast, thrown out. Amen. Well, you didn't say amen.
I know. I have a problem with when we talk about seeing and repenting, there's a real disconnect takes place between us. And that I think seeing is a component of repenting. I think they can't happen without each other. I frankly think seeing comes before repenting. And I think we've argued about that, and I don't think we think the same about that.
Well, that's not germane to what we've just studied. Saul's lost his sailor, it's good for nothing.
I just said what I was thinking.
Right, and I think that seeing is, you can't repent unless you can't repent unless you see that what you're doing is either not scriptural or that it's fruitless. But if I'm doing something that the scriptures say or that contradicts the scripture, then if I don't repent, I'm a fool. Then I see after repentance. But many times you see before repentance. But it's not either or. I didn't even know the meaning of repentance in my conversion experience. But I saw. Except I said, I said those words, I don't care what it cost me. That's a form of repentance. But it wasn't the meaning of repentance. To me, it was just, an offhanded statement. That's what I want. I don't care what it costs. Well, boom! And I saw. This sounds egotistical, but I don't mean it to be. I haven't learned anything about the mystery of God since that point in time. Because I left time. And everything in the scripture confirms it. I tried for 12 years to prove it wrong. So, it's not an either or. The issue is, again, if we think there is time to do it, then we know we're on the wrong track because we haven't redeemed the time. We have justified having our garments spotted by the flesh. We have justified it, our thoughts. We're not taking our thoughts into captivity. We have justified all these things because we think there's going to be time enough for me to see it later. I promise you that if time, if what you're thinking and believing gives you time, then from God's standpoint, you're a Pharisee. Because you've separated from the finished work of Christ. But the finished work of Him has to be manifest in us. The Word has to become flesh in us, in His people. So repentance is not an act, it's a way of life. The repentance of ever coming to anything that believing that this thing has any purpose. This evil one, above all evil. All right, take a big breath.